Said good morning. How is everyone this morning? Do we have happy hearts? Kind of? No? Yeah? All right. Well, I just wanted to encourage you this morning. And if we could just have everybody stand and just kind of get ready just to kind of enter in a way that we've never entered before. You know, this is a very special day that God has made that we get to delight and be joyful in Him. And so I just want to, thank you, Jesus, that we get to come together, that we get to be together in your presence, Father. I thank you, God, that you give us this time just to be a family unit, be in close proximity, no 6 feet apart, Jesus, but that we get to be with one another and hold each other up in this time. Papa, I just pray that you would have your way today, that you would be here, and that your sweet presence would just rest with us as we begin to just praise you and thank you for all the glorious things that you do, even in the no matter what, God. I just thank you, Father.
Thank you. stars they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not.
something that you're holding on to, something that maybe you feel like you cannot overcome. I have good news for you today, church. You don't have to overcome it because He has already overcome it. So I want you to put that thing in front of you. This isn't about anybody else in the room. This isn't about making a spectacle or anything like that. It's about you right now. So put that thing in front of you. That anxiety, that depression, that anger, that relationship, that sickness. And come on, we're just going to sing hallelujah over it. We're going to praise the Lord, hallelujah, over our circumstances. For no other reason but that He's already finished it on the cross. Come on.
Sing hallelujah.
Come on, church.
We sing hallelujah.
Yeah.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah.
Yeah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
I hope you didn't come to church to be quiet.
We sing hallelujah. We
Thank you. off your ankles. Get rid of them. You are free. You are free indeed. Whatever it is, whatever's holding you back, step out in faith and shake it off. Shake it off, baby. Shake it off.
Walk out of that prison and walk into what he has for us.
Yes.
That's our responsibility. That's our part. He can break all the chains he wants, but until we shake them off, we're not going to be free of them.
If you need help, understanding
Amen.
What that looks like, we're here to help you.
Amen. 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 Lord, break every chain, Lord, that holds us back. Break every chain, Lord, that keeps us from seeing who you are in our lives, Lord, what you have accomplished, the work of the cross. Lord, remove scales and veils, Lord. Remove brick walls, Lord. Anything that is keeping us, Lord, from knowing you, Lord, from knowing the fullness, Lord, of who you are, what you've accomplished, Lord, for us. Lord, we pray you break every chain. Lord, for those that are weak and heavy laden, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just help them find the place of rest. Lord, that pace of rest, Lord, that's in you. Yes, God. Yes, God. We're going to continue to break every chain right now by praying over Yakima and over this government. I'm going to ask Myla to come up and pray.
Father God, I just ask right now for not only this church, not only this street, not only this city, but the whole state of Washington and beyond, Lord. I just pray that you break the chains. Break the chains off of Yakima, Lord. I pray that we're free today. We're free to be a new city with a new reputation, Lord. We know that you have resurrection power. So, Lord, I pray that you resurrect this city. Resurrect this city from the dead. You're already doing it. We already see it. We know you're moving. Lord, I just pray that you continue to move, that you continue to draw people near to you, Lord. You allow people to see your face, who you really are, and that is a loving Father that wants to set them free, Jesus. I pray for our government leaders, Lord. I pray that they shake off the chains in their lives. Whatever they've had in their mind till this day, Lord, I pray that you give them eyes to see. The scales come off their eyes. Their hearts be positioned in a place towards seeking you, seeking your face, seeking your will for their lives and the lives of this country, Lord. I pray for everyone, everyone in this city today, Lord. Whether they're in a church building or they're about to put a needle in their arm, Lord, let them see your face. Let them come to you. Let their hearts desire you, Lord. Let there be a desire for you in Yakima. Let there be a desire for you in Washington and a desire for you in this United States. May this heat wave push people to their breaking point and get down on their knees and say, Jesus, I need you. Be my Savior. Be my help. Resurrect me from the dead. May they step out in faith and shake those chains off. For myself included, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray for Phyllis's niece, and she's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. What's that? Oh, and liver. Okay. Father, we just lift Connie before your throne of grace right now, Lord. And God, we know that, Lord, she's in your hands, Lord, and that you've got her, Lord. But Father, we pray right now that you would just do a supernatural work, Lord, of healing in her bodies. Lord, that you would touch every organ, even the ones that aren't named or no one knows about or the cells that are being affected. God, we pray that you would bring correction to her system, Lord, that would allow healing to flow. Lord, whatever is the source, we pray that you would eradicate it from her. Lord, we pray that deliverance would come in such a way, Lord, that she would receive the healing power of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are the one that is working in her life, Lord. So we agree with your plan for her life. We agree that you have a hope and a future for her, Lord. And so we ask that you would touch her body and let that be a sign of your blessing in her life. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for Lord Ken right now, Lord, who's home with an ear infection, God. We pray that you touch him, allow him to receive your healing, Lord, and just be with them, Lord. That couple, as they're enduring this heat, we pray you help them to stay hydrated and healthy, and we just ask that you would just allow your hand of provision to come on that family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
All right, good morning, church. How's everybody feeling? A little sweaty? I'm good. I'm thankful the shirt is the color it is. Right here, I feel there's a big sweat mark. It's hot, but you all knew that. So if you don't know, Mondays at our house, the Lopez home, which is, there's the address, we host youth at our house, and it's the best night of the week. So you may think you're having a great night, what you're doing, but over at the Lopez home on Appleview Way, we're having a better time than you. And so, so this is for all teenagers, all middle school and high school students. And, yeah, we have a great time. And so we hang out. You know, even Lexi Villalobos has a great time. I know she does. She makes us laugh and she brings the life to the party. But don't look at her. She doesn't like the attention. Tuesday nights, Pastor Mike, Tuesday nights, we have a women's Zoom meeting. If you're interested in that, you can text Gaylen and she'll get you connected. And that is from 7 to 8, and that's just the women's group. And here it's very, very powerful. And then Wednesday, we got the men's group, 7 to 8, and you can text Pastor Mike there. And it's a great time. And then in... not this next Saturday, but the following Saturday, we're doing something this summer called Summer Worship Nights. We had the first one at our house, and it was a really, really great time. And this is for anybody and everybody. You can invite your friends, even if they're like, I don't go to church, that's okay. We actually prefer those people over the people that go to church. I'm just kidding. But honestly, everybody is invited to this. This is a all-inclusive event where we're just going to worship, and we're going to pray, and this might be actually a good like entryway for if you have friends and family that are, you know, kind of skittish about like, oh, I don't want to step into a church building. It's like, all right, well, come with me to this thing in the backyard, and we're going to worship, and we're not going to do anything weird, I promise. The next one is at Zeke and Tara's house, and from 6 to 8, so that's going to be a fun night. And then the last thing, but wait. If you come at 5, oh, they're going to beat us. I'm there at 5. I didn't know that. That's news to me. Hot mic. 5 o'clock, show up. You know what? Just show up at 5. If you don't show up at 5, you're going to miss the most powerful part of the night. Okay? All right, 5 o'clock, 5 to 8, we're going to have food and worship. And then last but not least, if you'd like to give into what we're doing here at One Life Family Worship, you're more than welcome. There's no pressure, no obligation to come. This is a free entry to come into our church. But if you want to give, you can give at this website, onelifefamilyworship.com, and there's a PayPal link that you'll click there, and it's really easy to do, as well as we have an offering box here, because at this church, we don't take an offering, we receive an offering, and we believe it's a part of your lifestyle of worship. And so, yes, I can get up here and I can preach a message about what it means to tithe and why we should tithe, but ultimately that's between you and the Lord. And so if you want to give, you're more than welcome to give. We have an offering box here, and there's one out there in our foyer that you can give to, and all that money just helps us keep the lights on and do what we're doing. And air conditioning working. Praise the Lord. Is there another slide, or is that it? That's it. Okay. And the last thing I want to do, some of you guys know this, that the school year ended, and with that came seniors graduating. And so if I could, yeah, let's give it up to them. If I could, can I get Elena and Nani up here? They are our seniors that graduated this year. Just stand right here. And I don't know which one's which. Oh, okay. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, I have something to say. These girls are just fantastic, amazing spectacles of what it is to really go after the Lord. You girls have inspired me as a mom. You've challenged me as a woman to go deeper. And because of how deep you're already going, and the more that you want, challenges me to go that much deeper and to seek Him that much greater. I am changed and made better every day that I get to have you guys in my life. And I hope you know that. Like, you guys are such world changers. You are going, like, the impact that you're going to have on the people around you in any sphere that you enter is just going to be phenomenal, and you're going to bring kingdom, and I'm so excited for that. So I just want to bless you in that. Okay. And so we just, us as pastors, Gigi and Mike as well, and us, we've just got you a small token just to show you that we're so proud of you. We're proud of all the endeavors that you overcame, all the milestones that you breached, and just to bless you into what you're going into next, and to remind you of who you are.
Huh? You don't have to open unless you want to open in front of everybody. No. And so I'll just say part of the gift is there is sometimes you guys might see I wear a black key. It's a giving key. Some of you might wonder, is that his house key? Does he really need it that bad? Actually, no, it's a giving key. There's this company called Giving Key, and on it is there's a word. And that word is a word that I carry. It was gifted to me by our previous youth ministry, actually in Portland, and it's kind of just a proclamation of like this is the word. Even when I don't feel like it, the word is strength. Even when I don't feel strong, that's the word I'm carrying. It's almost a prophetic statement. So we got you guys each giving keys that Nancy and I prayed into that has a word on it that we feel is something you carry, even when you don't feel like you carry that. All right? So we're blessing you guys with that as well. And if I can just get the families up here, we just want to pray for you guys, bless you guys into this next season because it's an exciting one. Sometimes scary, but exciting. And we just want to pray for you guys and declare what the Lord has for you, okay? So I'll start, and then whoever wants to grab the mic, you can do it. You want to lay hands on Elena? So Jesus, we just thank you for these two beautiful women, Lord. Lord, pray for their hearts, God. We lift them up to you, Jesus, and we just thank you, God. Lord, as they enter into adulthood, as they enter into life and working and paying taxes and all the fun stuff, God, that you would just be with them, God. God, I just pray for their dreams and their passions to come to fruition, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would never, ever grow stagnant, Lord, in you or in their dreams. And I just declare right now, God, that in these, not even the years to come, but in the months to come, Lord, you will begin to reveal to them, Lord, what you have for them. God, we send them out to you, Jesus. And we just give their lives to you, Lord, and the next season that you have for them, Lord. We thank you so much, God, for these ladies and what you're doing in their lives, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, I'm just so grateful for the daughter that you have given me. And Lord, I'm just going to give her to you, Lord. I'm going to give her to you to guide her, Father God, to encourage her and to lift her up, Lord, into the woman of God that you have called her to be, Lord. Not who I want her to be, but who you want her to be, Lord. And just give her strength, Lord. Give her strength and peace abundantly, Father, upon her life so that she can move forward in you, Lord.
Father, ever since you allowed them to breathe in your breath for the first time, Lord, you've had your heart set on them, Lord. And so, Father, right now, we just agree with your plans, Lord, for their life. Lord, we agree, Lord, for your destiny that you have for them, God. We pray that nothing would be able to stop it, nothing would be able to hinder it, nothing would be able to sidetrack them, Lord. But as you kept your eyes like a flint, Lord, on the cross, I pray that they would keep their eyes and their hearts, Lord, on the divine plan and the purposes that you've created these two for. Lord, we pray that you would just give them all the giftings that they need, Lord, all the wisdom that they need, Lord, all the truth that they need, Lord, all the counsel and the might that they need, Lord, to move forward in you. Lord, the fear of the Lord, we pray that that would just rule in their hearts as it did you. Lord, that would be something that others would see the fear of the Lord in their lives, Lord, and they would be in awe, Lord, of their lives because of the way that they honor you and respect you and desire you to be magnified and glorified in their lives. So we just thank you for the destiny and the purposes you have for them, and we agree with it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to turn these fans so that they're pointing towards you. And crank them up a little bit. This heat's definitely testing the systems in this house. Oops. She saw it coming. There we go.
words.
So is everybody doing good? Yeah. Kind of. Warm. Well, the good news is that this is a cooler day than there's going to be in a couple days, so be thankful. And we won't be in here when it's 115, 116, so thank the Lord for that, right? And it's supposed to be cooler next Sunday, so we have a lot to look forward to. Praise God. Well, Pastor Gay and I are sharing today, and it's really been in my heart to go back to the book of John. We haven't been there for a while. We're in chapter 16, and hang on a second. Hello, there we go. 16. We're going to read 20 verses today, and we're going to bring out three key parts. I'm echoing.
Can you hear that echo, Jim?
So I don't have to turn you up so much.
Oh, okay.
All the fan noise.
Oh, gotcha. I got to
turn you up, the quieter you speak.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Well, because it was ringing. So that's the dynamic of the mic. When you start hearing ringing, you get quieter, and then they got to turn you up more and more ringing. It's a vicious cycle. But we're going to read 20 verses and then cover kind of 3 points out of these 20 verses. So let's go ahead and get started. Go ahead, babe.
This is verses 13 to 33. As I read these, there's two words I'd love for you guys to kind of glean. Isn't that a great word? Glean. Take and really think on these. And the first one is truth, and the second one is guide. Okay? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I mean by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, and this is saying, listen, listen, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. His disciples said, ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen. It's a lot of verses.
That's a bit.
They're kind of broken up into some key parts. Of course, like you said, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But for about 4 or 5 verses, he's talking to them about the fact that he's going to leave and that they're going to be sorrowful. And for whatever reason, whether it's just, you know, they're being dense, or they couldn't even possibly imagine what's going to happen to him, even though he's communicated it many times, they're thinking that, you know, that he's going to be with them. And he's telling them, no, listen, I'm going to go away. And he's told them that earlier in chapters 14. And you're going to come with me later on. But, you know, he's reiterating this right here, and he's letting them know that they're going to have sorrow. And, you know, there's a scripture that talks about that, you know, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so for them, they're going to go into a dark night. You know, for 3 days, they're going to feel like their whole world's been destroyed. Because for the last 3 years, Jesus has been their life. I mean, most of them have left their occupations. They've left their way of life. You know, they probably have left family. And they've been traveling all over the hills of Israel, following him and watching him do all these amazing works and hearing his heart and hearing the Father's heart. And so that's been their life. And so their life's about to be totally destroyed. But he's reminding them that even though they're going to have sorrow, and even though they're going to think it's all over, it's not. And that they're going to have a joy that's going to replace the sorrow in this mourning. But what I wanted to get to again, because I just think that as believers we need to remember this. In John 16:13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." When the Spirit of truth comes. Now, Jesus said earlier, and we've been over that, but it was months ago or a couple months ago, maybe months at this time. But he said that it's better for you that I go away. He used the word expedient in some translations. In other words, it's going to be the very best thing for you that this happens to me. Now, you don't understand it, but it is going to be the very best thing that could ever happen to you. Why? Because the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is going to come. And in another place, he says that he's going to be with you, but he'll also be in you. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. How many know that that's where God resides, or how he resides in us, is through the Holy Spirit? And if we have the Holy Spirit, we have all of God. We have Jesus, we have the Father, because they're not separated, they're one. So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Passion Translation says it this way, But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, truth-giving, I love that, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. Now, some people say, well, it doesn't actually say that. No, but what they're inferring is that the Holy Spirit who lives in us will make sure that we know the truth. And how many know that when you experientially, or in through a way of receiving truth by experiencing it, when we experience truth, what does it do in our lives? It makes us free. It sets us free. It delivers us. You know, we were singing, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. You know what breaks chains? Truth. It does. I mean, if you want chains broken in your life, then find out the truth about God and what God has done for you. Because if you receive that truth, then you will have those chains broken. And then you'll be able to walk in the freedom that Christ has set you free. Remember, it says that for freedom's sake, Jesus made us free. He didn't make us free so that he could say, oh, I set them all free. No, he set us free for freedom's sake, so that we could experience freedom and we could live in freedom.
And I'm sure there's some people out there that are as naughty as I am and telling the Lord, well, Lord, you can break the chain of unforgiveness. Yes, with truth. You can break the lack of trust. Yes, with truth. You can break off the chain of addiction. Yeah, with truth. Truth can break off every chain we could name. Truth is the answer for that. And the enemy in our lives especially in our weak times. I was sharing with my husband on the way up here that in the early morning hours and even in the late night hours, my mind just runs. And the enemy, I'm weak at that point. I'm tired from the day, or I'm tired from not having much sleep because I don't get much sleep. The enemy knows my weak points at my weak times. And he's just feeding it in there, feeding it in there. And what's going to break that off of me? I'm going to have to start speaking truth. I'm going to have to get up out of my bed, whether it be early morning hours or late night hours, when I'm not sleeping and I'm tossing and I'm turning and I'm mulling over these things. Get up out of my bed where I'm not going to wake anybody and either go to the garage or go out to the patio or whatever and begin to speak life, because speaking life breaks off chains.
Yeah.
Speaking life with your mouth is as more powerful than speaking life or speaking death with your mouth. Speaking life is more powerful. So me being able to speak life into that. So how about you? What's your chain? Is it a bad background? Is it growing up for me with alcoholic parents? I mean, I've said this to quite a few of you, maybe not all of you, but by the time I was 12, I was very, very proud of the fact that I could make my dad's favorite martini. I was 12 years old. He would send me into the kitchen on the weekends when he wasn't working because he was a, what's it called, the kind of alcoholic, that functioning alcoholic. And he would want me to make the martini because I made it best out of all the other kids. I was very proud of the fact at 12 years old that I could do that. But that was my past, my upbringing was a chain to me. Alcohol is a chain to me. Not that I give it a place. I was just talking with my twin and my very dear sister friend. And I said, have you guys ever been drunk? I'm not going to tell you their answers, but I'm going to say I never have. And they're all good for you. But that doesn't mean that I still don't battle with the chain of generational curse of alcoholism. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Every one of us battles with things. And if we're going to have truth in our life, to the point where we can speak it out, that it brings to us freedom. The enemy just lost.
Right. That's good.
Say it again, Tara. You cannot let the chains define who you are.
Oh, that's good.
That's powerful. You cannot let the chains define who you are. So as a child, I came from an alcoholic background, but I don't have to live in alcohol now because that chain does not define me. That is so good. Oh, here.
It's really good.
I love that we're talking about this because I don't think we can overemphasize enough the power of our words. Like, we think like, oh, it's about doing, but no, our words, how we speak about our situation, how we speak, I mean, about your marriage, about your kids, about your work, about your city, like what you focus on, that's what grows. Because if you can envision, like, when you're speaking, you're planting seeds in those things, negative and positive. And in, I love it in Proverbs 18 in the Passion, 18:21, says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And the talkative person will reap the consequences. Other translations talks, it says we will eat the fruit. So your words are so powerful. If you envision, if we could actually see in the natural what our words do to people or to situations, I think all of us would be a lot more careful about how we speak about things. Amen?
Yes. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Another word for truth, and it uses it here in the Passion Translation, and really, it's one of the things that I think keeps us from really receiving what God has for us or what He's accomplished for us is reality, and that's what that's another word for truth is what is real, reality. And I think a lot of us, unfortunately, because of, like you said, our backgrounds,
things that have happened to us, things that have been done to us, things that we've done, we get a false reality. So we start living in the aspect of a lie. And we start saying things, like Eric said, we start saying things that are death. We start saying things that are tearing down, not just others, but ourselves, our families, you know, our workplace, our city. And so reality is Jesus. That's the thing. He said, I am the way, the truth, the reality, and the life. So he is reality. So how do we find truth? We receive the truths that Jesus has for us. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He says that I will lead you and guide you, the truth-giving Spirit, into all truth. So anytime I hear Jesus say something that's an affirmative type of result, like he will, it's not like he might, he can, he should. No, he will.
Thinking about.
Yeah, he will lead and guide us into all truth. So that leaves the responsibility, like someone said today, if our chains have been broken and fallen off, we got to walk out of the cell, or we've got to walk away from them and not let them be put back on us. In other words, we have an action necessary in our response of saying, Jesus, whatever you need to do in me to make it so that I can be a bearer of truth, to hold your truth, to appropriate your truth, to make it real in my life.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Vicki, go ahead and come on up. Yeah. Unless you just have like a quick comment, like Tara threw that out.
And I can't be quick. I'm talkative.
Okay.
So for us as human beings, especially women, we talk ourselves down.
Oh, yeah.
And so when Pastor Eric was talking about words bring truth or life, when we say, I'm stupid, I am so stupid I did that today, I am unforgiven, I'm not worth anything, we forget to tell ourselves, like I told Maria this week, we are the daughters of the Most High.
Amen.
We are the sons of the Most High.
Amen.
And he does not speak that way about us. He doesn't tell us you're shameful. He doesn't tell us you're addicted. He doesn't tell us you're dumb. He tells us, I love you. You are my child. You are powerful in me. I live in you, and my truth is in you.
Amen. That's good. So, how do we respond? We say, Lord, you said that the Spirit of truth would live in me. Now let that come to pass. Let it happen in me. I surrender my resistance. I surrender and I submit to your work in my life. It takes that. It takes a purposeful agreement with God. You know, when it says, you know, that we're forgiven. You know, we have to agree with the fact that we're forgiven. If we go on, continue to say, but my behavior was so bad and I can't be forgiven. Well, you know what will happen? Your behavior will continue to be bad. It's until you receive his forgiveness that you can truly start living differently. All right, let's go ahead and look at another aspect of this I want to point out. This kind of goes along with it. It says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And then there's a few verses, but then he gets back to the same thought. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. So what is this saying here? This is saying that after you go through this hardship, this loss, this struggle, this trial, you're going to then be able to ask the Father in my name, and whatever you ask, he'll give it to you. So again, that's a truth that we need to understand, that Jesus, through the work of the cross and sending the Holy Spirit, has given us the opportunity to now go to the Father ourselves. That's why years ago I changed my prayer. Father, I come to you. I used to always say, Lord Jesus, You know, like I needed Lord Jesus to stand between me and the Father, you know, because I had father issues, I guess. I don't know. But I didn't understand the love of the Father. Sure. To me, you know, when I read the Old Testament, God looked kind of grouchy. You know? And Jesus came on the scene and he looked like, hey, he's approachable. You know? And so I went with the approachable one until I realized that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Then Jesus showed us the nature and character of the Father. But I never received that truth until quite a few years ago. So what ends up happening now is, Father, I come before your throne of grace, because I've been encouraged to come boldly before the throne of grace to find help and mercy in time of need. Not just for myself, for anyone. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that to you, that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. So some of us, you know, have this idea that Jesus is always interpreting what we're saying or needing, praying to the Father. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit prays for us when we have groanings that we can't utter, or we don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit intercedes. But I'm telling you, we have access to the Father. We have full access to his throne room. I know it doesn't make sense. Why would just little old me have access to the God, the creator of everything? But it's his design. He designed it so you could go have access directly to him. That you're not having to go through, Jesus to talk to the Father. Because Jesus says, you loved me. You received me. And this word isn't even the word in agape. It's the word phileo, which means you've had a good heart towards me. You've had good feelings towards me. You've shown me friendship and love. And because you've done that, the Father loves you. But we know that God loves the whole world with agape love. That this is a relationship type of love. This is like a relationship love that you have with your friends that are close and dear to you. That would do anything for you. You can call at midnight and say, hey, I just got a flat tire. You know, can you come pick me up? And that's when you find out if they're your true friends. Oh, to have full access? Well, for me, it meant that I was able to have a relationship with God, that I was able to experience his presence not just on a Sunday. And when I say his presence, I don't mean like goosebumps and that kind of stuff, because his presence has to be understood as a truth. In other words, he's here. Like, he's here right now. We may not have had, like, you know, flames of fire or, you know, like, you know, tongues of fire or anything like that. But he's just as here now as he was on the day of Pentecost. You know, just because we don't see that doesn't, and he's not manifesting that way, doesn't mean that his presence to do whatever we need done is not here. I think the only difference between us and the day of Pentecost was their hearts were prepared. You know, if we want to have a day of Pentecost experience here, all of us have to come with our hearts prepared for something special, including myself. We have to be ready to receive what he's prepared for us. And if we come to him just, Lord, I just want to be here with you, he's happy with that. You know, what father isn't happy? Like, Dad, can I just sit here with you while you watch TV? Oh, yeah. You want to talk? No, I just want to be here with you. Okay. I mean, that's most dads are pretty happy with that, right? The Father is a good, good Father. And we're evil, as it says. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father give good gifts to you. So we're talking about a Heavenly Father who just is happy when we turn his way and go, I'm thinking of you. I think he does backflips if he can. I'm sure he does, but you know. You know what I'm trying to say. So here's another couple of translations, because I want to make us aware of this. Because some people say, yeah, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Okay. So whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. That's most in the name of Jesus I'm praying. But here's a couple of things to consider when we're using the name of Jesus. So the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament says, when you pray within or in union with the name of Jesus. So in other words, it's not like we're just naming his name to say, I'm just covering my prayer. It's about the relationship that we have. It's no different than if I was to go and say for my dad, and I was to go represent him someplace. And you know, as I have power of attorney for my father, so I would go and say, I'm here to get this for my dad. And they say, well, who are you? I say, well, I have power of attorney. I'm now in his name. So at this point, whatever he wanted to have done, he's given me the responsibility to say he wants it done.
Well, not just the responsibility, but the joy of being able to represent him.
The honor.
Like, the honor.
The honor.
Honor is a big deal when it comes to the Lord. Because if we're going in his name or doing in his name, that's an honoring thing. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, when he says, I'm appearing for my father as a power of attorney, it's as if his dad was standing there.
Yeah, it's as if he's within me and I'm within him. In other words, we're one because of that
because
document.
Because the power of attorney, the value that it gives, just like with the Lord.
And that's an earthly thing.
That's an earthly thing. It's even more powerful in the heavenly realm. So when we come in Jesus' name and say, now does that mean that if I want a Mercedes Benz, I can ask in Jesus' name and he's going to give me a Mercedes Benz? Probably not, because I wouldn't know how to drive it. But I'm just saying, if we ask amiss, it's because I'm not asking for the right intentions or for whatever reason. But if we're asking and we are lined up with the will of God, and as Proverbs 3:5 says, he wants to give us the desires of our heart, but our desires normally, when we love Jesus so much, love him deeply, our desires are going to line up with his.
Amen.
They're not going to be lined up with what I want. They're going to be lined up with what he wants for me. And that may not be a comfortable place, but it is always a joyous place.
Hold that thought for a second, Myla. So the William says, I most solemnly say to you, the Father will give you as bearers of my name whatever you ask him for. So that's another way of looking at it. We're bearing his name. We're carrying his name. It's not that we're just using his name.
Right.
You know, a lot of people use the name of the Lord, but they're using it in vain. And it's not we're not to just use his name in prayer. We're to bear his name. We're to represent his name. We're to be in union with his name. Go ahead.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. It's no coincidence that we were made in the image of God, and then God tells us to ask in the name of Jesus. It's as if the holiness that got taken away, Jesus has put back upon us to be able to fully, confidently walk in
Amen.
The truth of being his imager here on this planet, doing the work of him, his hands and his feet here, his
That's
soldiers.
Good. Amen.
For Mother's Day this year, he got me a subscription to Ancestry.com. So me and my twin sister have had great joy getting online and researching back. But nothing excites my sister more than to realize we're related to so-and-so and to so-and-so. Like, does she get excited?
Oh, yeah.
She gets so excited. It is not even funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're related to King so-and-so. Or, oh, you know, we're in this line and Princess Diana was in this line. Like, this is a big deal, you know. Well, don't we feel that? I mean, shouldn't we feel that?
Oh, even more so. Yeah.
And more so?
We're in the royal lineage
like,
of Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, because he's adopted me, because I am truly his, pretty much I get to do what he wants me to do and say what he wants me to say because of that. So we have 7 grandchildren, and we have 2 little kids that are kind of in the family. And so if and when mommy and daddy get married together, they'll be our grandkids. But they have no bloodline with us. They're grandkids by marriage. But I don't treat them any differently, even though it's not happened yet. than I do the other kids. So anybody that's not in Jesus, who has never asked Jesus, Lord, I need to make a change in my life. I need to do this not because of any other reason than I need to be in you, God, and I want you in me. So, oh wait, you mean I get all the benefits that they have too, Lord? Like, oh wait. And so here's these two little kids that aren't our grandchildren, and they're getting presents under the Christmas tree, and they're getting hugs, and they scream and yell, Gigi, Papa, and they come running for hugs, just like the ones that are our grandkids, because they know they're going to get it. And Jesus is going to give it to you. He's going to give it. Are you running for him? Are you calling his name? Are you saying, I may not deserve it, Lord, but oh, Jesus, I want you so bad. I want the love that you give me so bad. I need it so much. He will lavish on you.
Yeah.
A love you've never known. And if you have been lavished with that, and it's sporadic. Now hear me. It's not a continual day in and day out between Sundays. If it's sporadic, he's not gone anywhere. Where have you gone? Come back. Know that if you were sitting here on Monday and nobody else was here, Jesus would be here. Just you, nobody else. He would put a song in your heart. He'd put a joy in your life. He'd put a spring in your step because he loves you.
Amen. So the final thought I want to remind us of is in verse 33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Message translation says this, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But take heart. Some translations say, be courageous, take courage. I've conquered the world. Hey, that sounds familiar. He has conquered. He didn't just conquer when he was rose from the dead and he conquered. When he conquered, that means we conquer. He's made us what? More than conquerors. That's what it says. So we're not just conquerors, we're more than a conqueror. I often tried to think of that. Okay, I know what a conqueror is, but what is more than a conqueror? Maybe you need to ask God, what does it mean for you to be more than a conqueror? Also, what does it mean to experience that overcoming life and not just continue to be swallowed up by all the difficulties in life? Because I've met some that it seems like all they're doing is letting the difficulties control them and not realizing that they've been given the power through Christ to be overcomers. And sometimes all the difference between being someone that's being conquered by the enemy and overcoming and being a conqueror is, again, that word truth. Receiving the truth. Receiving the truth of either who you are now, not who you used to be. What Christ has done for you, not what, you know, you have done against God. We have to realize that Jesus is not up there keeping track and saying, well, he's done more bads than he's done goods. He's not doing that. He's not saying, oh, you know, I'm going to be, you know, this much available in their life because they've been this much back from me. Like you said, they're always, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, are always with us. Who is the one who's not asking them to be in our lives or receiving in our lives what they've done?
I love that deeply at peace in the Message translation, because I think that our lives are going to reflect that if Jesus is in us, no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because I think that non-Christians will be drawn to the peace in us. I think. Not by what God's overcome in us, you know, that we've been able to overcome in the world, but more by the peace that we carry. Like, isn't that attractive? To me, if I saw two Christians standing here, and one lived a life that, oh, poor me, woe me, you know, this happened, I'm, you know, but I'm here in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. But then there's another one standing here, and I would be shocked to learn the history in their life, because they're carrying peace. What's going to be more attractive to a non-believer? The person that is carrying the peace, showing, reflecting the peace. People are attracted to the reflection of what you have inside of you. What are you allowing to shine out? Is it peace or is it discontent? Is it joy? Is it sorrow? Is it love? Is it hate? I mean, what are they seeing in you between Sundays, guys? Not here. It's easy for me to love Gina Perez because, man, I really do. But there's a girl that's going to be coming my way tomorrow. I may not know what her name is, but she's going to need me way more than Gina Perez does. And am I going to be able to let her see Jesus in me? That's my choice. I need to be able to reflect the peace of God because the world is hungry for peace.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I believe that Jesus has given us peace. Peace that passes all understanding. He said in John 14:27 to the same group, pretty much in the close timeline, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give you peace like the world gives. I give you supernatural peace. So now let your hearts be not troubled or fearful or afraid. So he has given us peace. He has made us conquerors. He has laid truth out before us and within us. He has given us access to the Father. So like you said, what are we receiving? And what are we carrying? How are we approaching these truths in our life?
And what are we reflecting?
And what are we reflecting on? Go ahead, team.
There is power in the name.
Lord, so that every chain is broken. Every weapon that's been formed against us will break down and not prosper. Lord, let the truth of God that will make us free be just sealed in our hearts today. And Lord, in the coming days, Lord, let truth reign in our lives. Let the lies and the deceit of the enemy, Lord, fall off like water off a duck's back, God. And let your truth stick. Lord, your truth is within us. Your truth is about us. Lord, your truth is working, Lord, for our good. So, Lord, let your truth reign in our hearts. We just ask you to break every chain through your truth in each and every life here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, team.
If you need prayer,
yes.
I just invite you to come up as well. We'll be happy to pray for you.